How you doing? This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Eamon for the latest edition of the Scrimmage Play podcast, and we're here to wrap up a busy, busy, borderline exhausting state championship week. And we want to jump right into it with we're going to talk about all four teams that won state titles, but we also want to start by talking about two teams whose time had come and then two other teams who arrived a little bit ahead of schedule. So let's start with the Almar girls soccer team, the Western girls soccer team. Both won state titles. They had some battles during the year. Both finished it off with championships. And pretty cool that it reverses, you know, last year where the Almar and Western boys both won state titles. So this is really Central Virginia, Charlottesville has become a crossroads or sort of a proving ground for soccer. The titles run through here, I think, based on the last couple of years.
Yeah, at least you get to the title game because, I mean, going back to 2012 with Almar boys winning, 2014 they made the finals there, and then 2014 the Western boys won. So now that the girls have arrived. In 2015, the Western girls were playing Blacksburg. I think, sort of in hindsight, it's easy to look at them winning this year and say, like, oh, they were supposed to. Right. And in some ways, because of Albemarle's crazy run, I think that they didn't quite, maybe didn't get the spotlight or the hype that the Albemarle girls did.
Yeah.
But that was a group of seniors that was supposed to come out and play hard as juniors, play hard as seniors, and, you know, this year they got it done. So that's, I think that's really interesting angle from their perspective. But the Almar girls, I think it's you know, their time was just it was right.
Yeah, I think it's, you look, both teams had kids from every class, it seems like, contributing. You got for the Almar girls, you got Fizzy Gonzalez, a sophomore. You know, the striker for the Western girls, Abby Zimmerman, who is just a junior. And then you flip it back and you look on defense and you got Ayanna Tyler Cooper back there at goalie. And then for Western, they had to play without Shannon Moore, who's a junior, but they had Nicole Heon back there to kind of anchor things and really kind of, you know, keep things. I think the story of both these teams is that they had more depth than anybody else really had. You know, when
they
came to their runs.
And all three lines of sort of the way soccer works, you know, back line, midfield, and the attack, they all had underclassmen that were overperforming and then seniors that were doing their job. It all worked out perfectly. There was no one key area of strength necessarily or one key area of weakness.
Yeah, I mean, they were just good all the way through. I mean, they were really tough to, you know, tough to handle. Tyler Cooper didn't see, and you saw more of the Final Four run. She maybe saw some more shots, but she didn't see a lot of shots all year.
Two shutouts to close out. I think that gave her 40 on the year, which is nuts. And the story for Almar, which is really kind of fascinating, I was talking about it with Leticia Freitas afterwards, and that state final game with Mountain View was really just sort of a replica of the region semifinal with Jeb Stewart, where the first half is a little bit of back and forth, and then the second half was Almar just knocking on the door again and again and again, and they just weren't getting the right bounces. And then, you know, in the state final, things work out perfect in the last minute, and, you know, it's all over. But it was just really fascinating to watch. Tyler Cooper talked about how all their games was the first half they're sort of doing a little cat and mouse, and then the second half is them just dominating the other team. I think that's really interesting for a team to consistently sort of play like that.
Yeah, I think, and like you said, she's just a walking shutout every time she comes out there.
She's got good defenders in front of her, and when she sees a shot, she sees it, yeah.
Yeah, so then you flip over, and the Western girls team, it's just, it seemed like they were kind of knocking on the door, but they, you know, had a moment where they didn't panic, but, like, they were certainly aware that they were tied or down, and that didn't happen very often than this year, except against Almar. And at halftime, they were sitting there, and it was 0-0. They hadn't been able to create a ton of chances, but they had kind of dominated possession. But they really woke up. Elizabeth, you know, Fabiano played tremendous all the way through in that state championship game. She was just pretty unbelievable. And when you get a player like that really stepping up and meeting the moment that way, I think that changes a lot of things. And Savannah Wilson for them is another one that has been really good. Caitlin Harvey had an assist. Aaron Meyer, she showed up. She's just a freshman. They had their own freshmen who were playing really well, much like Almar. So a ton of different players from different classes stepping up. And you have to have that, I think, if you're going to win a state title. One class can't carry you the whole way. Maybe in a sport like softball where, like, the pitcher is the one.
Dominate, yeah.
But I think that when it comes to soccer, you've got to be so diverse. You've got to be sort of all – you got to have a lot of players contributing from a lot of different ways, and they had it, and both teams had it. They were both tremendous.
Yeah, and I think you got to give some credit to, you know, the coaching staff and then just sort of the seniors in general for – I mean, really the only – the two biggest games for these teams going into the playoffs were the games against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them to be able to flip the switch once conference, region, and state play came, I mean, that's not easy to do when you're used to beating other teams 8-0, 8-0, 8-0. Like,
yeah, and just, Western even didn't get to jump into that until the region, because in conference they wrecked everybody.
Yeah. Well, even that, I think that first region game with was it Rustburg? It was a crazy game.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They really sort of all of a sudden good teams started showing up.
Yeah. Well, Blacksburg shows up, yeah. And Brentsville shows up, and they got, you know, it certainly didn't. You know, when you're playing a state final, you're going to get see a good team no matter what. And Brentsville's really good. Their keeper's really solid. She really played her tail off, and I think that when you're trying to kind of knock on the door and make that happen, I think that can, you know, become a situation where even though you're dominating possession, even though you're creating all these chances, it can get frustrating really fast, and then let it get to them.
That's where the physical play comes in, and that's where having the seniors to keep their heads on straight really matters, because when two teams are good, they're going to just start beating up on each other, and you just got to find a way not to sort of let it take over.
Yeah. And it's great too to see, you know, both those teams get to complete that task. I think that's, you know, you don't want to see situations that we've seen in the past where, you know, one of the local teams has knocked the other one off the rails or has like impacted them enough that it hasn't been good. Those two teams both got their due, you know, their sort of justice, that they're both, I think, the best 5A team, the best 3A team. Western may have been good enough to be the best 4A team for all we know, but they both really played their butts off, and just a tremendous couple of runs from them. And, you know, those are two programs that really go out of their way, I think, to do things the right way. And I think that, you know, like you said, the expectations were there, but to meet those expectations can be a challenge too.
Yeah, walking the talk is not easy.
Yeah, there's no question about it. So those are two teams that their time had come. Then we've got two teams that got here a little bit early. Madison softball, Western Albemarle boys tennis. Let's start with Madison softball. They had one of the most wild runs. Two 12-inning games, I think, in the region to get in there. And they had to pull all that off, which is just really tough to do. But some of the strength with them is that they have two pitchers, a sophomore and a freshman.
Yeah, and, you know, Logan Estes and Emily Seal are really good, and then they've got, you know, two of their best bats are seniors. That helps, but they lose those two seniors, Carrington Frazier and Care Price, and then they're all back.
Yeah.
And back for multiple years, not like these are all juniors.
And we just saw before we recorded this, Hannah Johnson's second baseman's All-State, you know, and Estes is a state player of the year. This is a juggernaut that's coming together right now.
And just even during the regular season, a little bit of the buzz up in Madison. Yeah, we're pretty good this year, but man, we're going to be good next year. You're like, okay, so in the year that you're pretty good, you want a state title. So, like, what do they do going forward? I mean, I think complacency is the real battle for this team for the next couple of years, is not getting bored.
Yeah.
I mean, the good news is within their district, Clark's always good. Monroe's going to be good next year. They've got a lot coming back. So they've got some battles.
And their conference is tough when they even get to that. Page and Ray is usually pretty good.
It's always really giving them trouble. This is the first year they were able to sort of cruise through it. Yeah, they really battled through that region. You know, a lot of extra inning softball there. And the game with Goochland was nuts.
12 innings. Yeah, and part of the reason that they're able to survive that is that they can trade off between the two.
Yeah, and then even playing Lebanon, that was a very tight game. You know, fortunate to get out of that one. They had to make some maneuvers there. But, yeah, when a young team doesn't commit a lot of errors like this through, you know, a ton of playoff games, that is a sign of something brewing.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a bunch of young kids that don't get the yips in that sort of spotlight moment, then you're going to be good for a long time going forward.
I heard from a couple of folks up there that in the past, even when Madison's been really good, you've never known what's going to happen when the ball got into the outfield.
Yeah.
And now that's fixed. It's very clear how sort of solid and secure everybody 1 through 9 plays on that squad. It's a lot of fun to watch. And a really cool element I thought too is Madison's community as usual, and we've probably said it 100 times, they show up. And it was loaded with Madison County folks both days, just loaded up.
I mean, that's always been a softball school in terms of for the girls' sports. They've always been good. We've never seen Madison have a down year. They've made state finals before, two, since we started. So this isn't new for them being in this moment, this tournament, and I just think it's cool for a school like that to sort of, I mean, they lost two games all year, I don't think they lost any in the last 2 months. I mean, they just ran the table, and the crowds kept getting bigger and bigger up there. They played a lot of home games, and that's going to continue, I think, if they keep posting together good records. It's just neat how a sport can sort of dominate attendance that way. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's neat.
Especially a sport like softball.
Yeah.
It's really cool how they've sort of rallied around that squad. And those girls play hard. And there's just no question about it. They play hard. They're young. They're really good. A lot of really good things happening up there. On a similar note, Western Almore boys tennis, with just one senior in the top six, wins the state title. We've seen them make these kind of, it was a really good stretch there just a few years ago where they won like five state titles. Now, you know, they seem to be back. I mean, Alex Ix is a freshman and he's already won a doubles state title along with Daniel Thomas. He's the number two player for them. He was unbeaten, I think, at two this year. Daniel Thomas is just a junior. He's the number one for them. He's been really good, won the doubles state title, you know, played for a single state title, I think lost in the semifinals. They're really, really good. They're loaded up, and it seems like they're building something pretty special, too.
But and we saw it was sort of an assumption a long time ago that Western would just make the state finals every year, the Alex Prev years.
Yeah.
You know, you get a young core, especially when you get your one and two settled like that, and they're just so dominant. I mean, it makes a huge difference. It inspires confidence in the other kids. Maybe we're back to that where Western tennis is really sort of all the way up there. We saw it from their girls teams just recently. They made a bunch of big runs, and maybe it's the boys' turn.
Yeah. What was really cool was that they were down 3-1, and then Haxfield, the number five, who hadn't played against Blacksburg the first time around because of a lot of cramping from a match the night before, they're all the weather and everything kind of constricted what they were able to do in their region tournament. So he was just too wiped out and cramping too much to play in that. And Haxfield comes out and is dominant at the five. And they win the five, they win the sixth. And suddenly they're at 3-3. And I think that Daniel Thomas said it best, that he felt like that when it was at 3-3, it was over. And that's a lot of confidence.
Yeah, and tennis is, I mean, all sports are about momentum, but tennis is just, it's really funny the way that works out. You can see things coming a long way down the road. It can be 3-1, and you get one match, and then all of a sudden you're like, we got this.
Yeah.
It just sort of builds to a head.
Yeah. So to see that group and to see what they potentially can do over the next few years is going to be really exciting. So those are the two that arrived early and got those championships. And you know, it's to get four state titles in a day, we don't see that too often. And Western Almar, two state titles in a day for the school. They've done that a few times, but and sometimes they do it in swimming, and they only do it in one sport. They get both of them in that. but it, very exciting for them. And Madison softball, just they've been knocking on the door for a long time, and to get that first one since, I think, 95 really is pretty tremendous for that program. So two, though, that just missed out on state titles, just missed out on, you know, it, completing that run. Charlottesville boys soccer, which you can't hear, but I'm shaking my head now because that wasn't the way you wanted that last one to play out. A ton of yellow cards. They had to play down a man for at least the last 25 minutes or so. Just a really difficult situation. And to go into overtime down a man, I mean, you could tell they were starting to get wiped out and starting to get frustrated. And then Kettle Run gets the goal in on them. But what a run by the Charlottesville boys soccer team.
That's a team that just fought tooth and nail all throughout the playoffs. And sort of Kettle Run is sort of the monkey on their back. They just couldn't quite shake. I mean, Both games went into overtime.
They have a new target. It used to be Parkview Sterling. Yeah. It screwed everything up for them. Now it's Kettle Run. They have become the enemy of the state for Charlottesville soccer.
Yeah, the never-ending sort of a haunting nightmare. So, waking up in sweats about Kettle Run.
Kettle Run is a very good soccer team. Charlottesville, that's one of the best soccer teams I've seen lose in a state final. They're just so good, and we're so clutch. And can't say enough about Abibi Osman and Evan Blow, man. Those two guys just made big goal after big goal. Osman had two in the state semis. He had one where he dribbled down the line that ended up being the game winner and popped it over to Alex Pfister. That goal just didn't seem like it should happen. He was doing it with his right foot. He says he can easily go both ways, but he seems to go left a whole lot more than he goes right. And just a tremendous play. And then the other one in the final came from the corner of the box, and he's just getting mauled by the defender, just absolutely mauled. One of the top defenders for Kettle Run is all over him, and body slams him, essentially, like after the kick, and somehow Osman got it up and got it in. A really amazing shot, and it felt like one of those that was going to be the difference maker, and then Kettle Run came back. That enemy of the state status is well earned. Kettle Run took it from him. And I think that's tough to watch. And this was a year that seemed like it was the year for Charleston boys soccer. Oh, they had just short.
Yeah, you know, Steve Costin talked about it. Like, this has been building. They were ready for this run. They felt like this, of all the years, last year was a good run, but of all years, this was the one to do it. And so then you look at this program, and what do they have left in the tank? You're losing an Osman, you're losing a Pfister, you're losing a Blow. You know, a lot of kids going to college from this team, and so how many underclassmen sort of pick up the pieces and find a way to sort of retool this thing?
They got a young keeper who I think has got a chance to be really, really good, and they've got some other young pieces that are really stepping up and played really well. Whether they can fit it all back together, you know, obviously that's a question for, you know, this time next year we'll have an answer to it, but a heck of a campaign for them, and one that they've kind of built to and you know, really delivered in so many different ways to just finish a goal short in golden goal overtime. They almost got into PKs. As soon as they had the red card, that was kind of my thought, was like, they got to bunker in and they got to figure out just how to survive till PKs. And that's a team that, with as many scoring options as they've got, I'd take them in PKs. PKs isn't how any soccer team wants to decide things, but at that point they kind of had to play what they were dealt. But Osman kept attacking, and he created chances, and he was really good. And I think that, you know, just as good a team as I've seen, and as good a player in Osman, and as clutch a guy as I've seen in Evan Blow. So, and Alex Pfister, man, he just made everything kind of work for them. And Yahya Muhammad, man, he's back there on the back. But, man, he knows everything that's happening on that team, and it's just really fun to watch. And so, a tough way for it to end, but maybe Charlottesville boys soccer can pull it back together.
When we've seen from the other boys teams that have made state finals or made championship runs, the next year is the real tough one. Albemarle won in 2012. 2013 was not a great year for them.
Yeah.
Western won in 2014. The next year wasn't as good. Same with Albemarle. Their boys made the final that year. They, you know, it took them 2 years to make their run. So it's quite the challenge trying to piece together another run, and hopefully CHS can sort of break that trend. But I know that's a real tough task. When it comes to the boys soccer game, like, those senior classes are just so huge. I mean, it's the difference in physicality and play between a freshman boy and a senior boy is a lot different than a freshman girl and a senior girl.
Yeah.
And so it just makes the task all that more difficult in trying to repeat.
And then we had a few other teams lose in the semifinals. We had, you know, the Madison baseball team, Goosen baseball really ran into a juggernaut.
Yeah, John Bourne.
They took it to him. So you put those couple got knocked out, and earlier in the week, Monticello girls lacrosse got knocked out, but a tremendous sort of campaign from that squad.
Yeah, you're talking about a team that just had to hit the road. I mean, they weren't region winners and they weren't conference winners, so they had to go about it the hard way, playing in qualifier games and all that stuff. That's a team that loses a couple seniors, but the bulk of their talent returns. You know, Josie Mallory, Paige McLaughlin, you know, all these guys, Ari Archer, they're back, and they got a young coach.
Kaylee Smith, too.
Yeah, that really, I mean, a young team with the young coach that seems just sort of the right players finding the right match. Talking to the Riverside coach, you know, that's a team that's going to be back in the state Final Four if they, you know, everything goes right for them. I think you're going to see a lot of Riverside Monticello going forward. I think they're trying to play each other in some regular season games. You're going to see maybe George Mason, who's always really good in that tournament as well, and then throw Western in the mix. I think those four are going to be playing for state titles, you know, these next couple of years. Monticello's got something that they can – next year should be a huge year for them.
So – a tremendous year, really exciting, you know, to see four teams pull off state titles in one day. Just a lot of fun to watch. So really appreciate you listening along with us, and we'll be back with some more stuff soon.